Would you stand for the reading of our sacred text this morning? This scripture was read in our devotion of our praise and worship time, but I'm just going to lift up for your hearing one verse, and it says in the first Psalm, it says, for the Lord, the sixth verse of Psalm 1, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Hallelujah. We will use for a theme this morning, two destinies. You may be seated. This morning, very briefly, we'll look at the first Psalm because it's very important as children of God that we need to understand who we can walk with, who we can sit with, who we can walk with, who we can stand with, and who we can sit with.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of folk that you can't walk with. And I just want to tell you this, if you're walking, that means a manner of life. If you're walking through this life and you never run into the devil, look out. Because you may be walking with him. He may be on your side. But if he's not on your side, eventually, if you're doing the things of God, if you're a child of God, eventually you're going to run into him. Now, if you never ran into him, give me a call during the week and we'll chat about that, because there's something wrong if you haven't run into the devil, because he wants to stop all of God's progress. There's a brief story. The Pope came to town. Y'all know who the Pope is, right? I'm not talking about Henry Pope. I'm talking about the Pope from the Vatican. The Pope came to town, and he was going to speak at the United Nations, but there was a big storm, and the storm was so horrific that the Pope could not land in New York City, so he landed in New Jersey. But he landed in New Jersey, but they sent a limousine to pick him up. So the limousine came to pick up the Pope, and by this storm had delayed everything. So the Pope got in the limousine and he told the driver, he said, listen, you're going to have to drive pretty fast because I'm due at the United Nations, you know, in a few minutes. So the driver said, listen, I'm sorry, but I can't drive any faster because I already got two tickets. Speed. Y'all know about that, don't you? And if I get another one, I could lose my license. So the Pope said, well, get in the back and let me drive. Man, the Pope jumped behind the wheel of that limousine and he took off speeding, peeling rubber, all the way into New York City, into Manhattan. And by the time he got in there and crossing that George Washington Bridge, the police pulled him over and he said, wait a minute, pulled him over. There was two cops in the car and they pulled him over and the cop came back and he said, I'm sorry, I told the other cop, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to give these folk a ticket. The other policeman said, why is that? He said, the guy sitting in the back, he's too important for me to give a ticket. The guy sitting in the back now, he said, well, is he more important than the mayor? He said, oh, yeah. He said, is he more important than the governor? He said, oh, yeah. Is he more important than the president? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I don't know who this man is sitting in the back, but he is so important that the Pope is his chauffeur. I told you, you better watch who you walk with. You better watch who you stand with. And you better watch who you sit with. You know, if Jesus is in your life, you'll never be a nobody. If Jesus is behind the wheel of your car, you will never be led off into the wrong direction. I know you got your navigation system and your GPS, but if Jesus is directing your car, let him drive. Don't say he's the co-pilot, let him be the pilot. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If Jesus is behind the wheel, then Satan can't give you no ticket. Are y'all out there? Jesus, if Jesus is with you, you will always be somebody. If Jesus is directing your life. In our lesson text this morning, the first psalm starts off talking about blessed is the man. Now pay attention, because this psalm is number one for a good reason. Just like Jesus started off teaching in Matthew's about the Beatitudes. Because, see, this psalm sets the tone for all of the other 150 psalms that's recorded in Scripture. See, we should read all of those psalms, all of those other 149 psalms, in light of this one, this first psalm, because it sets the tone for everything. Because in life, we have to make that decision every day. In life, there are two destinies. Now pay attention to that word destiny, because destiny is about control. There is something that's controlling your life that's beyond you. There is something that's directing your destiny that's beyond you. And it depends on the decisions that you're going to make every day. Now, when you get to the fork in the road, now, we're going to talk about this morning, because you got a choice. God said, I'm not going to micromanage the world. I'm going to give you a choice. Although God has done some things for us, but he's also given us free will. Free will means that when you get to the fork in the road, you have a choice as to which way you would go. And I just stopped by here this morning to let you know that there's some dangers that's lurking out there when you make your decisions. As they used to say down south, every road leads somewhere. Even if it's a dead end, it leads to the dead end. But I want you to pay attention, young people, because every road leads somewhere. When I visit with the guys out at Pacific God Mission, and when we go out to Wayside to do ministry, no one, not one person out there, it was their intentions to be there. And that's the first thing they'll tell you, that I never thought that I would end up in a place like this. When I first took that first hit, that hit that I've been trying to get, that end up hitting me out here. But I never thought, y'all know we go down there and preach to 700 people at Pacific God Missions, and none of them ended up thought that they was going to be there. But I want to let you know, watch out. Because that person that called himself your friend would never give you something that would lead you down a brimmer's path like that. So I'm just stopped by here the morning to give you a warning. Yeah. Now pay attention, because see, you need to know between a warning and a ticket. you know, when the police stop you and give you a warning, they are saying to you that, okay, I'm going to let you go this time. But if you keep on doing this, again, you're going to get a ticket and you're going to have a fine to pay. So this morning, I'm just warning you, because there are some things that's lurking out there that could hurt you. It says blessed. That word blessed, the nature of blessed is found in not only what we do, but what we don't do. You're not blessed by the things that you do, but you're blessed by the things that you don't do. When we are blessed not only by the benefits we enjoy, but we are also blessed by the things that we are able to escape. Are you out there? There are some things that you benefit from, but also there are some things that you escape. You know, you drove through that intersection, and 10 minutes later, there was this big accident down the street. Your neighbor's house was robbed, wasn't yours. You know, a lot of things have happened to folk, but it didn't happen to you. Some things have even happened to you. I know when a man ran into the back of my car, and I was standing up right there at Roosevelt and Park, the man just tore up my car. And I was standing there. He said he was trying to read my Greek signs in the back of my window, but he didn't have to tear my car up. And I was standing on the side, and a lady came up there, and she said, "Wow, he really tore that car up. I know the person that was in that car was really hurt." I say, "Praise God, that's my car." But I knew that God, see, when you get up in the morning, let me just say this, when you get up in the morning, you pray to God, he dispatched some angels. And the angels go before you. And the angels protect you. They build a fence around you. And then they provide for you. And I just don't want you to think that you were so clever. I don't want to thank the people that made the Volvos, but that's the kind of car that was built so much that I didn't get hurt. I want them to understand that it was God. And you better know that it was God. So he said, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful." See, when we're talking about walking in life here, it's talking about an individual and a manner of life. When you go to California, that's one thing people will ask you a lot. How's your walk? They're not talking about how crooked you walk or how bad your knees are. They want to know, how's your life? How's your life doing? How's your walk? So if you go to California, somebody asks you that, you can tell them, say, "I'm walking good. I'm walking with Jesus. And every now and then I run into the devil." To walk in the counsel of ungodly is the arrangement of one's life that follows the advice of those who have no use for God, or those who do not love God. To walk in the council, to get advice from ungodly people. And we put Barack Obama's bio in your program today, because during Black History Month, we want you to look at a person. Now, you know, Barack Obama did not get to be a community rep to the President of the United States by listening to folk who gave him bad advice. Iron sharpens iron. You have to learn how to listen to folk that can help you. You know, you don't listen to ungodly folks, because ungodly folks, they'll never want any good for you. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolish to him. See, when you talk to ungodly people about coming to church and being a part of the church and all this kind of stuff, they will talk you down. They don't want you to be part of the church because, see, they hate God. And I'm going to tell you, there are some people that are going to hate you just because you are a child of God. I told you, they don't like you because they just don't like you. And another news flash, they are never going to like you. So wake up, especially if you're a child of God. It say, "Nor standeth in the way of the sinners." Three times in this brief Psalms, it's expressed this word, the way. The way of the sinners, the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly. Like the term walk, the expression way is often used in Scripture to distinguish a man's manner of life. Walking in the way. It says, it is this kind of activity that has become how we conduct our life and how we live life on life's terms. And see, the attitude of people become the way of their life. Watch their attitude, because that attitude is going to lead to something. When they start mumbling and grumbling about church, when they start falling away from the church, when they start doing things, when they start, that attitude is going to determine. See, we serve God with an attitude of gratitude. And when you have that attitude of gratitude, you will be a child of God. We said it in our retreat. Y'all can wake up and write this one down because this is going to be a free one. There are some people that use the church, but they don't love God. They use the church, but they don't love God. Because if you love God, the pastor wouldn't have to call you and tell you to come to church. I told you when I met my wife Evelyn at Tennessee State, you didn't have to call me to tell me to call her to go see her. I was in love with her. And walking across the campus, I stopped seeing all them other girls, and they say, oh, so that's how it is. Now, that's how it is. The way of the righteous. There is a way of the righteous, and there's also a way of the sinner. The way of the righteous is a way of faith. We walk by faith and not by, I don't have to see stuff. We walk by faith. I knew I was going to be healed. I wasn't going to no therapy. I called up on Jesus. We walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm praying that God will heal my wife. She's going in for some tests on Tuesday, so y'all pray for her. But I've already claimed the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to have faith. Yes. We walk by faith. We also have salvation when we are children of God, and salvation brings in those benefits and those provisions and those things of God. But the way of the sinner is a dangerous way. It's a way of disbelief, and it's a way of spiritual disaster. Watch the sinner's life. Watch the sinner's life. It's a way of disaster. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil is a bad liar. He can't remember what he told you before. But it said, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, scornful people are people who think that they have, when we talked about the scornful person in Sunday school this morning, scornful people are people who like to make mockery and like to make fun of folk because they have elevated themselves to a higher level of thinking. So they actually think that they are better than other people. But you know, the Bible say that we are never to think ourselves better than other people. But a scornful person is a person that would pick fun, a person that would talk demeaning, talk down. So you shouldn't be, and I'm gonna tell you something. See, a dog, that's a tame dog, if he gets caught up in a mob, he will become just as vicious as the mob. I know that's right. So you don't want to get caught up in the mob crowd. See, when you get to see, if you ever want to dispel a mob, call the name of a person that's in the mob. See, a mob never acts on its own. And if you identify somebody in the mob, you just pull them out of the mob. But I just stopped by this morning to let you know you cannot be in the mob crowd because you've been mobbed. You're a child of God. I can call you out of the mob. I can say, Christians, come out of the mob crowd. Because a mob crowd is dangerous. They'll do things that they would never do alone. Come out of the mob. Don't sit in the seat with the scornful. Don't pick at other folk that are helpless and are homeless and people that can't help themselves. And that's what scornful people would do. They will hurt folk. The spiritual, and it says in verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the Lord do he meditate day and night. See, this is a man who meditates on the word of God. Those of you that from the country, you know that old cow stand up there and chew that grass all day long. But the next day, you may see him sitting under the shade tree because you know what he's doing? He's eating that grass. He's bringing up that grass that he chewed yesterday. It's called a cub. He bring it up. He chew it, but he store it up. But he bring it up. He got a bunch of stomachs down there. Look, but he bring it back up. So that's what it is. They say you meditate on the word. When you get the word of God, you meditate on it. And when things come up in your life, you're able to bring it back up in your life. When people tell you that the things that you can't do, you say, my God that I serve is greater than anybody out here. The God that I serve will supply all my needs according to his riches and his glory. When the doctor gives you a bad report, you can say he's got more healing in him of his garment than it did in the Elvis hospital. You have to be able to bring that stuff back up. You have to be able to bring it up, and if you ain't got nothing to bring up, you're going to be lost. Bring it up. And then it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit at his seasons, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let me tell you something. The tree that's planted in a place where they need to uproot it, but they want to uproot this tree, but they want to plant it in a place where it can grow better in better soil. So they plant it by the rivers of the water. And when they plant it by the rivers of the water, the roots of the tree go deep into the ground and deep into the ground. And when there's no rain, when the shrubbery around the tree turns brown, when everything else is brown, you look up at the tree that's planted by the rivers of the water, and the tree and the leaves are green. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? When you've been planted by the river, when life goes bad, when things in your life are in trouble, but you got deep roots that run down, and your source is Almighty God, and your significance is God, when you planted by that tree, you can look up and see greenery. Because I've been planted. Oh, yeah, I've been planted. I've been anchored. I've been put down. I've been way down there. I got deep roots. But there's a difference. And it says, but we get into this man and this other man. He said, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not like that. They're like a shaft which the wind drives. See, the shaft is that husk part of that corn. The wind can just blow it anywhere. It has no deep roots. You know how it is, you know? Every now and then I go out there and pull some weeds out my yard. One lady came by one day and she said, oh, that's a beautiful plant. I said, lady, this ain't no plant. This is a weed. You want it? See, let me tell you something about the weeds. Them weeds don't have no deep roots. You can just pull them up. They ain't got no deep roots. But what a weed will do, the weed will get around the plant. And the weed will choke the life out your plant. So when you go out there, that's why I don't send my son and my daughter out there to do no weeding, because see, sometimes they don't know the weed from the plant. They'll pull up everything. You know what I'm talking about? But you have to be a skilled technician like I am to go out there and do that gardening. You have to have on them gloves, and you have to know the weeds from the plants. You have to know how to pull them up. Even my gardener come, even the guy that cut my yard, he come down there and sometimes cut down the plants instead of the weeds. But you see, you have to know the weeds from the plant. Even in the church, you have to know the weeds from the plant. Because see, in the church, the tares grows with the wheat. Out in the world, the diamonds lay down with the pebs on the field. You have to know the difference. Somebody done picked up a peb and thinking they done picked up a diamond. You have to know the difference between the dross and the gold. Are you out there? Are you out there? Oh, you better know the difference. Talking to somebody in the church, and you get up close to them and thought they was a plant. They're weed. I told you the story about the boy fell in the potato and in the tomato patch, and they do some Scotch tape to tape them back up. And the daddy came home and thought that things were still growing. Look, he got up close to the tomatoes and it was a Scotch tape. Right. You get up close to some folk in the church, you think they start with Christians, they are held together. Scotch tape. Come up with some weeds. There's a difference. The righteous person is stable. The righteous person is anchored. The righteous person flourishes. The righteous person is vital. The ungodly person is a drifter. The ungodly person is shallow. The ungodly person is purposeless. The ungodly person is unstable. The ungodly person is uncertain, double-minded in all his ways. And therefore the ungodly are not so, but like a therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, not sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You see, the ungodly are going to have to stand. We're going to have to give an account for everything that we do. But the ungodly are going to stand in the place of judgment, but they are not going to be acquitted. They're not going to be acquitted. I just want you to know that God sent me here to let you know you don't have to fight your battles, because he's going to fight your battles. And then the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Because I'm going to tell you something, when you're a righteous person, see, God knows every hair on your head. God knows the way of the righteous. See, God foreknow you. That means he knows everything about you. Since God foreknows you, God has predestined a way for you in your life. So God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the righteous, God go before you and break in sunder those things that are getting your way. God is going to be a way maker out of no way for the righteous person. God's going to make a way where there's no way for you, but for the ungodly. Not so. When Jehoshaphat heard that two nations was coming up against him, and Jehoshaphat went into prayer. But when he went into prayer and told everybody that prayed in, somebody came and said, Jehoshaphat, this battle is not yours, but this battle is the Lord's. I just want you to know that this battle, what you are going through, this battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. And all Jehoshaphat had to do was just lead his army in the battle, giving praises unto God. I don't know if they were Shabbat God. I don't know if they were Yodin God. But they went into battle giving God the praise.